Let's start this show off by going back in time. Just a few years, somewhere in the 2011 to 2015 range, you can pick your favorite year in there. But the point is, at that time, the archetype of a great NFL quarterback is a 30-something-year-old veteran, not particularly mobile, maybe a plus arm, but that's not a requirement. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, except that those quarterbacks were so heavily dependent on a mental Rolodex built up over the course of thousands of plays at the NFL level, allowing them to know where to go with the ball before the snap or immediately after it. And the problem with that is that young quarterbacks simply didn't have that history to draw upon. And with the retirements of the Manning brothers and Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and Tom Brady, or so we thought, approaching, it was unclear who would be there to take the torch from that generation of signal callers. Because at that time, coaches and evaluators around the NFL were trying to find or create the next Peyton Manning. Little did they know what the future actually held. Welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast. I'm Gary Gramling.
I'm Jenny Brentis.
I'm Connor Orr.
And Connor, of course, wrote the cover story of the December issue of Sports Illustrated about the recent evolution of quarterbacks and the way it has changed the entire developmental landscape for the position. And if we're really being honest with ourselves, and we think about where we were in, say, 2015, I don't think anyone pictured us arriving at the point we're at right now with quarterback playing the NFL, let alone arriving at this point as quickly as we did.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, if you look back at, I don't know, maybe even say like the 2017-2018 season where, you know, the AFC Championship game is featuring like Blake Bortles and then like a 40-year-old Tom Brady, I think everyone was probably looking around and saying, okay, what's going to happen when Tom Brady retires, Drew Brees retires, Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning had just retired, and I think we were still sort of dominated by these archetypal pocket passers that were really succeeding at that point because of an accumulation of knowledge and experience. And so it's like, how do we replace all that? And how does the game move forward? And then, you know, now we're like, oh my God, look at what Kyler Murray's doing, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. And really, like, out of nowhere, just this wave of new quarterbacks came in, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, and all of a sudden, we feel maybe deeper and more enriched at the position than we've been in decades.
Yeah, I remember a coach saying to me at the Combine several years ago that there are some 300 million people in America, and we can't find 32 people to start at quarterback in the NFL, because that was how extreme the drought felt at the time. And their point was that coaches need to do more to work with quarterbacks to develop them, that certainly there are enough people who can play the position. But I think what your story highlighted so well, Connor, is changing exactly what that mold is, what we value, opening our minds to different ways of playing the position or channeling physical talent. I think you did a really great job of illuminating how that's happened over the last several years.
Yes, yeah, so we had a chance to talk to not only sort of all the big quarterback coaches that deal with training of these athletes, but guys who are also training at the ground level, right? The seventh and eighth graders, they're going to be the quarterbacks of the future. But we also got to talk to evolutionary biologists to talk a little bit about how everything evolves in the wild. And what was cool is quarterbacks almost seem no different than, let's say, field mice or deer mice in the hills of Nebraska, or elephants in Mozambique, or Anole lizards in Puerto Rico. And we all, when faced with extreme challenge or, you know, a different landscape, are forced to change. And quarterbacks, you know, defenses were getting faster. I think the availability of film and everything made them more predictable and easier to figure out. And so these guys that would just sort of hang in the pocket and throw weren't as valuable anymore. The species sort of had to evolve. And beyond the flashpoints, right, where we had someone like Randall Cunningham come and fade, Michael Vick come and fade, you know, now mobility is a prerequisite almost for the position in a lot of ways. And throwing off platform, for example, is being taught to sixth and seventh graders. I mean, these kids that, you know, if they were in elementary school, their coaches would have told them to stop doing that 10 years ago. And now it's literally a third of their curriculum. You know, private QB coaches were telling me that they get an hour and a half with kids. For half an hour, they're letting them roll out, do back spins, and throw the ball sidearm, because that's what matters now. And that's what's going to get you the ball, or that's going to help move the ball at the next level.
So yeah, we had gone through this period where, you know, Tom Brady, who obviously is still around, and you had Drew Brees, and you had the Mannings, and really what the quarterback position was about for the guys at the top of the league was, you know, reading the mail before it's open. It was the pre-snap acumen. It was the, I have played thousands of snaps in the NFL. I've seen everything. I know what's coming now. I know where the ball has to get to. And that takes, like I said, thousands upon thousands of snaps before you can get there. And we just sort of reached a point where there's this gap. You know, we talked every offseason about Kirk Cousins. Do you want Kirk Cousins as your quarterback? Well, and Kirk Cousins, by the way, is underrated, but Kirk Cousins sort of became the avatar for, the replacement level type of starter you want in there. And if you don't have a Kirk Cousins, then you're in trouble, because now you're shopping in the aisle with Blake Bortles and Christian Ponder, et cetera, et cetera. But was there a point with these young guys, something that sort of, I don't know, launched this whole thing? Or, you know, can we sort of pinpoint when this started to turn a little bit as far as the new approach to coaching these guys?
So one of the things that we found was, a lot of the quarterback coaches, what they do is they'll look at, you know, basically the best quarterbacks in the NFL, how they warm up, how they throw, what they do. And so one of the things that we identified was Aaron Rodgers does this weird thing with his front foot before he throws the ball, where instead of having his front foot planted in the ground, he like picks it up and stomps it really fast. And people call it a foot pop. And I talked to Aaron Rodgers about it, and he said, you know, it's because I have bad knees, and I was trying to alleviate pressure on my lower body while still being able to throw off platform. But what a lot of these coaches found is, like, it also allows him to do all the cool things that he does, like, you know, throwing off platform, throwing sidearm, throwing sideways while he's falling down, and it gives him sort of an extra power boost or, like, a biomechanical advantage when he's doing that. And so all of a sudden, some of these coaches saw this, they started teaching it to 7th and 8th graders, and all of a sudden these kids are making crossbody throws across the field in high school games, and you trace the lineage of that all the way down to Zach Wilson's pro day, for example, at BYU. He has a quarterback's coach who coached guys who played with Aaron Rodgers. He picked up on the foot pop, and all of a sudden Zach Wilson does it. It's the signature throw of his pro day, and it helps him do this ridiculous sort of rollout, crossbody, 50-yard downfield throw, and he cements his status as the number 2 pick in the draft. And it just shows like how quickly these traits can become available via film and then digested by all these coaches and then disseminated. And it's not just Aaron Rodgers, right? There could be, you know, the way that Kyler Murray sort of torques his upper body when he's throwing, or Lamar Jackson is throwing the ball sidearm around defenders. Like, all this stuff is now being looked at, rehearsed, and practiced, and then brought into the fold for all these kids who are growing up and going on to the NFL.
So what's really fascinating is we're talking about improvisational stuff, and, you know, it's almost by definition, that is stuff that sort of has to come naturally to you, but we now have a generation of coaches trying to coach this into a generation of upcoming quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because there's a lot of different perspectives on how this can be done. So, for example, you go out to California, Jordan Palmer, who has brother of Carson Palmer, is a private quarterbacks coach who has, you know, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, a couple of these guys, and he will run drills like, for example, he'll have a quarterback drop back and then start like kind of shuffling his feet through a rope ladder. And then he's going to have like 4 or 5 wide receivers sort of running across the field. And he wants, like NFL wide receivers, but he also wants like 7th graders in that mix, because he doesn't want quarterbacks to develop a relationship with receivers. He wants them to be able to independently judge speed and angles. And so quarterback is shuffling his feet through a rope ladder. He's watching all these people go across his line of vision. And then one of the receivers is going to throw a number at him. And so he's going to be like 3, 2, or 1. And that dictates what kind of throw the quarterback needs to make, like a hard pass, a touch pass, or like a medium level pass. And so you're essentially like training the mind not to care about anything except for, this is the guy that I'm throwing the ball to, here he goes, and like, it doesn't matter what my feet are doing, you know, like, I can handle that with my feet, it doesn't matter what anything else is doing, I can handle it with that, my body is a central processing unit, and I'm solely focused on this, and, you know, you're making a movement decision, you're not, you know, predetermining where the ball is going to go. And then you have guys like Lamar Jackson's coach, who I know Jenny has some great insight on too, is just like, he sees what Lamar does in games almost. Like, Lamar will do the jump pass, and then after the game, he'll text him and be like, holy crap, that was amazing. Where'd you think of that? And Lamar's like, I don't know, I just did it. And then so the next week, they will practice that. They will add that in to their repertoire. So for 5 minutes, they will do jump passes. For 5 minutes, they will throw the ball sidearm. And it's really incredible that, like, some people, you know, it's either this very mechanical approach or sort of a Spartan approach. Like, okay, you're doing this, so we might as well just keep rehearsing it.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, Connor. You also talked to Bobby Stroop, who works with Patrick Mahomes, and I know I had also heard some of the different things they were doing through the years, and what you wrote built on that, too. Some of these awkward positions where you skip on one leg and walk on the other, jump on one leg, walk on the other, you know, land and throw to a random location on the field whenever someone makes a clapping noise, just to practice passing the ball out of awkward positions and off-platform throws, working on how to do that. One thing that I do think is interesting, though, is when you practice so much of the off-platform stuff, also probably have to balance that with the on-schedule stuff. And maybe think a little bit about Mahomes early this season, and we've sort of been dissecting what's going on with the offense, and there's a ton of different moving parts. There's how defenses are playing them. There's a new offensive line, but I think some of it has been Mahomes has gotten so used to playing off schedule and off kilter that maybe his timing with the on-schedule stuff has gotten a little bit off too. So there does seem to be a balance of, if you have those abilities, practicing them and ensuring that you can make those crazy throws, but also doing the routine stuff well too.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And one of the things that Bobby said, I don't think that made the article, was like, we're trying to let Patrick know that he has gifts that are not necessary on every down, right? But there are gifts that he is drawing from on every down, right? And so, and you see that where during a Chiefs game, he'll take the snap and all of a sudden just start like balletically floating away from the pocket. And, you know, he wants to put himself in that position because it feels natural. But, you know, I think it was something like, you know, we want to be able to allow Patrick to express his body through movement, or express his creativity through body movement, right? But there are times when you don't need that at all, right? You need to be on schedule. You need to get the ball out fast, which is why there are so many different guys in this quarterback tutoring industry who are fighting so hard over what the future of this looks like. It's like, do you just fold it in? Do you assume that it will come with a mastery of the position, like it did for Aaron Rodgers, for example? Or are you trying to microwave this process to where as soon as a quarterback gets into the NFL, he's comfortable making these kind of moves? And it is sort of like a flashpoint to, yes, it's producing more throws, but these amazing throws, but what is sort of the future of that, right? I mean, like, are we losing a little bit of the mechanics along the way? And a lot of people are very still like steadfast on that. Like, we cannot lose the mechanics.
Really what we have here is the goal of teaching almost limitless muscle memory into these guys and what it's going to look like. And even if you set aside the fact that Patrick Mahomes had a fairly slow start to the season, or some of the rookies who maybe don't play the game like Mac Jones also are not off to a great start so far in 2021, the genesis for this story is the fact that we're just seeing these plays frequently. I mean, it's almost, I think you used the term numbing at least once in the story, but we really are just so used to seeing these incredible plays that, you know, even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, would have been like, wow, that's the throw of the year. And now we see like three throws of the year every week.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, I was watching this documentary recently on dopamine deficiency. And so you have, like, all these kids who are playing video games at all day, and then they'll see, like, a flower blooming outside, and it means nothing to them. You know what I mean? It's just like, or they see, like, a squirrel doing something hilarious on their porch, and it just does not register at all because they're seeing all these, like, this cacophony of sounds and amazing noise and all this crazy stuff every day. And so your brain is like, it downregulates everything else, right? It says, oh yeah, like a leaf falling is, or what is it in the movie American Beauty with the paper bag floating in the air? It's like, that means nothing. That's dumb. We're not even gonna count that. And so one of the throws that I sort of spotlighted on this was, so Malik Willis is at Liberty, right? And he might be a first round pick in next year's draft. And so last year against Virginia Tech, he, like, does this thing where he rolls out, he, like, runs into a defender, spins off of him, and then, like, while he's still, like, wobbly, just, like, chucks the ball, like, over his head, like, 50 yards downfield to the wide receiver, and he catches it with one foot in bounds, like, while he's hanging over the sideline. And like, that would have been the top play on SportsCenter for, like, a year in the mid-1990s, and we'd be talking about it all the time, and Malik Willis would be, like, the surefire number one pick in the draft. And now, like, it happens all the time. And so his quarterback's coach said, like, you know, when stuff like this happens now, I get texts from my little kids, my junior varsity quarterbacks, my seventh and eighth graders, and they say, oh, Coach Sean, that's like the drill that we did in practice this week, you know? And he's like, I have children doing this, like little kids who's like, you know. And if you've watched, which I had to for the story, like peewee football, like at this stage in the game, like it's still very much like these children whose helmets are bigger than their bodies, and like they can barely like register to move around, and they're doing this too. Like it's sort of bananas how this is happening.
Well, he's not a Pop Warner player, but the throw of draft season, when everyone watches the combine and the pro days and all this stuff that goes by, belonged to Zach Wilson. And the throw Zach Wilson made was essentially almost like a superhuman version of the Aaron Rodgers foot pop.
Yeah, his private instructor, John Beck, who's now quarterback's coach with the Jets, worked with guys who had worked with Rodgers. And so he learned it from Rodgers, found out why Rodgers did it, taught it to Zach Wilson, and all of a sudden Wilson does it. And what's interesting is I talked to BYU's head coach, and he said after that day, that night, so he gets home, his kid runs out in the backyard and starts doing it. He has like a small child that is out in the backyard doing it. And then the next day, all these pro days start popping up one after another, and every quarterback has then taken that throw and baked it into their own pro day because they look at it and they say, oh, wow, that's how someone Zach Wilson's size is getting that arm strength and that arm power. I can do that. And then they see how amazed the scouts are at this and how it draws everybody's attention and eyes. And so they all put the throw into their pro day. And so Aaron Rodgers, I talked to him about that. I was like, does it like weird you out that there are like kids on Instagram who like devote their lives to this? Like they're like filming themselves in slow motion and doing this. And it's like something that you came up with in your backyard. He said, he's not sure exactly when he came up with this. He said it could have been when he was watching The Office, which is where he gets a lot of his ideas from, and is at his house, or sometimes when he can't sleep, he writes down stuff. He said it was one of those like random idea generating sessions, but like now it's ubiquitous. And he said it was extremely flattering, right? And he said that it reminded him of when he was young, and I was surprised at how complimentary of Brett Favre he was throughout our interview. And he said, like, I felt like that watching Brett Favre when we would be in Green Bay together, like watching his footwork, which was maybe unorthodox, but perfect in its own way. Right. And that gave me the confidence to kind of formulate my own stuff. And so you have this like big, long wave of acceptance over time. And then that eventually sort of makes its way into the mainstream, which I thought was pretty cool.
It'll be interesting to see what happens from here and how that factors into quarterback evaluations in the draft. As you referenced, Connor, you have players incorporating it into their pro day workouts because they know that this will be impressive to scouts. And I think there has been such a premium now, especially with some of these quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes doing these crazy throws in the NFL, that teams and scouts want a guy who could do all of those things. And for those who aren't, they're almost kind of outliers, and it ends up pushing a guy like Mac Jones perhaps down a little bit to where Bill Belichick can draft him at the number 15 pick without having to maneuver up. He can get a guy that doesn't have all of these crazy physical wow traits necessarily, but can read a defense, get the ball out on time, maybe more so in the old mold of quarterbacks. So how does the popularity of this and the fact that there are a lot of guys trying these things to make these crazy throws, does that become exclusionary of guys who play the position sort of the older way?
It's a great point. And one thing that we didn't mention in the article is, you know, I had been asking about the Zach Wilson throw in particular as sort of a jumping off point. And one person who didn't necessarily care for Zach Wilson was like, it can become a gimmick, right? It can become a weapon to mask other deficiencies. And what that person said was, and I'm not endorsing this take, but that like scouts are dumb and GMs are dumb. And when you put on a show like this and you make something the centerpiece of that, all of our eyes go this way when they should be going that way. And maybe some of the stuff that we should have picked up on about Zach Wilson, we didn't because we fell in love with these moments. And these moments are replicable when you learn all the steps and you learn all the biomechanics. And what doesn't change and what, you know, needs to develop is the mental side of it. And Mac Jones is clearly one of those players that seems far ahead from a standpoint of understanding defenses. That's a place where Zach Wilson struggled, but our perception of those two things are very different now and have almost sort of flipped.
The only other thing I want to add is the plastic bag in American Beauty is really stupid, and the kids on TikTok are right to think it's stupid.
I've never seen American Beauty, I took a film appreciation class in college, and that was the first day we watched American Beauty. And I'm not kidding. Like, I was working for the student newspaper at the time, and I was waiting for, I think, like Jim Boeheim to call or something. And he called, like 10 minutes into film appreciation. I was watching this paper bag, and then I was just like, this doesn't seem like it's for me. And I just left. And then I canceled the class. I was like, this seems like kind of silly. So I agree with the TikTok kids to a point, although I do like nature. I think flowers blooming, leaves falling, the setting sun are all very nice things that I try not to take for granted.
This will stun you, but I've actually seen American Beauty.
Wow.
However, I don't remember most of it. So I'm unable to chime in on this conversation despite having seen the movie in question, which is just really a sad state of affairs.
I've only seen that part of it, but there's a floating paper bag, correct? There is something.
The plastic bag that gets caught in the wind, right?
Okay, so the point is like that there's beauty in the unseen, basically? Is that what they're trying to tell us? Or I have no idea what the movie's about. No idea. If you've directed American Beauty, can you please direct message one of us and explain?
Alan Ball, please write into the mailbag. And if you have a football question, we'll answer it, too.
Really glad this isn't a pop culture podcast.
The MMQB NFL podcast is Jenny Vrentis, Connor Orr, and me, Gary Gramling. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. And thanks, as always, to senior podcast producer Dan Bloom. Mark Moravik is emeritus editor of the MMQB, and Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts, and once you do, please leave a rating and review because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.